Today great. Today is such a great day. Everything is so great.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We got some wonderful people for you.
All you mommies and daddies out there who complain to the radio station, I got something to say to you.
And the first thing you've got to do is say the call letters properly. Okay?
It's an incredible metamorphosis of love and emotion and sensitivity and tenderness and fun and joy and happiness.
Did you know that this show represents health and hope?
To hop into a time machine on the Amy Beth Arkwee Show, weaving together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. How are you? Hope you had a great weekend. Yeah, we're going to take on the very real 21st century free flow pop culture combo as we talk the reveal of Caitlyn Jenner. I know you saw that cover already. We'll talk about it. Also, the expiration of the controversial Patriot Act and a possibly surprising decision from the Supreme Court regarding cyber threats. We'll talk. Hey, the mailbag is also filling up with inspiration to action, challenge, success stories. Love those. We'll offer a shout-out or two. Get you in the mix if you're listening live. It is Tuesday, June 2nd, 9 a.m. out west, 11 central. Noon here in the east. Number in motion, 347-857-4505. Please don't forget about our 24/7 Twitter feed. So whether you're listening live or on podcast, you can chime in anytime about anything and everything at AB Rights. The show today brought to you in part by Kellogg's. Wake up. Breakfast is waiting. And by Walgreens. Enjoy great savings at the corners of happy and healthy. So like we said, we're going to go back and forth in time because we're also traveling back to the fabulous 50s. I've got the jukebox filled with some nifty 50s stacks of wax. As we welcome back a pair of, I guess, it's becoming heartier regulars around here, Heather Scudderoff and Andrea Cheller, the authors behind Barbara Jean Coast, the sassy social butterfly and author of the fabulous 50s Poppy Cove Mystery Series. The latest one is just out. It's called A Nate to Remember. And they're also embarking on a very fabulous Canadian library tour. So congratulations, gals, on both of those things, and welcome back to the show.
Hi.
Hi, Amy Beth.
Hey, happy to have you guys here. Thanks for joining us. As usual, Barbara Jean is busy doing something else. She always threatens to come by and never does. Although I will say one thing, Barbara Jean Coast, for someone from the 50s, has got a real handle on social media. I don't think I've seen so many posts on social media regarding her appearance or your appearance on the show on her behalf. So thank you for that, Barbara Jean. And how sassy is she? She's clever that way because we didn't have Twitter and Facebook back in her day, but yet she knows how to handle it. So she must be traveling in a time machine, too. I think it's her Etzel.
The Etzel apparently is running better now than it was in the past.
Yeah.
I guess the roster is. Absolutely, that's right. So let's talk about this series for those folks who don't know, and you've been on a couple of times to promote your previous books. This is number 3. Now, you worked on this series. It seemed to have come out fast and furious, but you've been working on it since 2003, I think, when you concocted the concept anyway. You started talking about it and ruminating on it. Give us a little history about the series for those folks who are not familiar with it.
Go ahead.
Heather, you want to start?
Sure, I'll start, sure. I sort of came to Andrea with the idea of a cozy mystery series that based on a dress shop, and I didn't think that I would be able to write it on my own. I was always a reader, but she was always writing since she could hold a pencil, but I had the concept and the idea of the description, and I really liked cozy mysteries and how they created a sense of harmony and community, and I said to her, I think I have an idea for a series, but I think I'd like to work together on it. So I told her on the idea, and then we wanted to set it during a time when these skills were commonplace within the community, but still an art where, you know, you don't see your corner dressmaker, you don't get tailored clothes quite like you used to, sort of coming back a little bit retro, but not like it was then. And there was a real beauty and art to what they were doing. And because these intimacies were so much a part of everyday lives, it's like a hairdresser or a beauty salon where women come in and they're exposed and they talk about themselves and everybody knows these things and becomes this little hub and heart of the town that everybody knows what's going on with everyone else, but no one says anything. So these women were privy to a lot of the social set. And I said to Andrea, I said, you know, I think we might have something here. And before we had done talking that first time, which was actually in a library in the Kelowna Public Library, she had sussed out a couple of the main characters and even the murder victim. And we started talking about a few other people. And before we knew it, we thought we had something. So we just ruminated about it for a while before we actually put pen to paper, but we had thought about a few plots and then the time period and then the place, and it just all evolved.
Yeah.
So interesting how that happens, you know, because people think, you know, if you're not a writer, you think, oh, it just sort of happens. But, you know, you do put a lot of thought in it, and sometimes it takes a while for the characters, for the ideas to sort of coalesce in your heads, your hearts, whatever, and then finally come out. When did you know it was right, Andrea, to start, you know, hitting the paper running, so to speak?
Well, I think almost, like, characters are really what I find are the most important part, of, especially of the, as you know, writing a cozy mystery, the characters are really important. So once they sort of sketch themselves out, I wanted to keep going with it. We did over the years sort of go, should we do this? Shouldn't we? And then we finally got going, and just once we started going and writing it, it just sort of took off. And the first book, Strangled by Silk, I had decided, we did decide that before, like when we started. By the time we left the library, I had decided about Constance Stearns Montgomery being our first murder victim and things like that. But I always realized that the characters are what make these stories so interesting. You want to find out about them, and you want to sketch them out fully.
What did you said you vacillated for a while about whether you should or shouldn't go forward, and now it's such a definite, you know, realized dream with three books already.
Yeah.
What was the sticking point for you guys? Why were you on the fence?
Well, we had it there, and we both sort of put it aside. We were doing other things, each of us, and then we suddenly said, you know, I've been still thinking about this, and we both had been, and we thought, oh, let's just do it. Let's just write this. And we'll write a series. We did know it would be a series because we have read other cozy mysteries, and they're always in series. So we kind of knew where we were going once we started.
Boy, you're off and running. There's no question. Yeah.
and also the evolution of the characters, too, where in this third one now, we always knew basically what was going to happen. And we wanted to develop and hone and create this new world of why did this person come to Santa Lucia? What's the past that they left behind? Who were they? We knew this one pretty much right from the start that we wanted to develop it.
Yeah. Well, this one's fascinating for those folks who have been reading the series, and I don't want to give away too much. I mean, I can only give away what you've offered in the blurb.
Right.
But, yeah, you do have one of your main characters, Margot, has kind of a secret past that people didn't really know about, and what happened to her and why she did arrive, as you said, at your fictional town of Santa Lucia, which I guess you said earlier was roughly based on Santa Barbara in California. And, of course, people always question, you guys live in Canada, but you write about a town in California. We'll talk more about that later if you want again. But so you knew about her. So you already had the sense of the history of this character long before you did that. Or has things popped up along the way as you did know everything about her, or did things still surprise you about the character of Margot and Daphne and everybody else, by the way, as you go?
I think that we had a good idea that what Margot's past was going to be. When we were writing the book, there was a few things that came out, but we knew that some of the characters, it would be about their past. Some of the characters, it's about the future for them. And in this book, there's sort of pivotal moments even for Daphne making of her own discoveries. As it were.
Daphne will have more adventures, it looks like, you know.
her choice of what to do, that was a new one for us. We thought, what are we going to do with her? What would she do? And we decided, oh, let's do that.
So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, did you decide let's do that, or did Daphne kind of dictate, I mean, take you where you
Daphne
needed to go
dictated.
For her?
Daphne dictated.
Yeah, her. She dictated that. Margot was sort of planned. I think that we knew from the very beginning when we wrote this series that we were going to have, like, this third book, we also knew before we wrote it that it was going to be about Margot's past. So it was, we were sort of, that's when you come to write that book that you're going to reveal something about one of your characters, you really want to make sure that you get it right.
Some of the finer details, some of the characters were as we decided what it was going to be, they came as we were writing it. The basic crux of what brought her there, we knew that. But the players in the background, who it was, exactly why it was, the timing and what happened, that came as we wrote it. But we knew that it was going to be, this is why she came here, and this
yeah.
is who I am.
It's interesting how those little things kind of come together and how the characters inform you as you're working. Also interesting, mm-hmm. Daphne's reaction and everybody else's reaction, but especially Daphne's reaction to Margot's past surfacing and questioning what she knew about her friend and all of that. Fascinating. Don't want to go into too much more because I don't want to give it away.
Yeah. Yeah, they need to read the book.
I think you're right. What? What'd you say? Buy the book? Exactly. That's what we're here for.
Well, we said read, but if you want to throw buy, we're good.
Yeah, you got to read the book. Buy the book and then read the book. Exactly, in that order. But, yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. I so agree with you, guys, about the thrill of the Cozy Mystery series, especially as it evolves and you read more than one and you get hooked on them, is it really delving into the characters and their circumstances is just as fascinating, if not more so, than the actual mystery at hand.
They're more about community. Yeah.
Yeah,
and when you have a longer series, you can develop these people more. And it's even though now something is said about her past, she still has a future. She still has interesting things coming. And then she mm-hmm. can also settle in while other people have their futures and some of the other pasts come back. I mean, Loretta had a life
right.
in Hollywood, hint, hint.
Oh, yeah.
So,
right.
you know, there's something going on with her. And Babs is certainly henpecked by Nancy, and she's bound to need to break out. Hint, hint, hint.
Yeah. Right. So are we hinting, because you guys are already from number 4 and 5? I mean, you have this planned for several more books, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah, we do.
Go ahead, Andrea.
Yeah, we have plans for our characters. We're looking at probably, I think, in total in this series, we're thinking about 10.
Wow, okay, cool.
So, right, yeah, we've got evolution happening. There will be some more paths revealed, but there'll also be some people breaking out and getting to know them a little better and getting to know themselves a little better.
Yeah, and you have the beautiful thing, which I love, and I'm actually inclined to think about doing something of a time period piece myself. The idea of going back in time. You started in the 50s. You're in 1958 now in this latest. You're going to probably, if you go to 10, you're going to get yourself into the 60s, and a lot of changes. You already see some of that, beatnik vibe pushing in this one a little bit, and changes and how the characters react to the changes in society and the culture, I think, is something which will be interesting to see as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see things, we just came off the Mad Men finale. I don't know if you guys were watching Mad Men, but that was certainly a great influence on me because I'm fascinated by the 60s and just all the turbulence and all the changes that happened in that decade that have still reverberating today.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's a great show from England. I don't know if you have it up in Canada yet, called Call the Midwife, which started out
mm-hmm.
in the 50s, and they just reached the early 60s now. And they're mm-hmm. also dealing with, it's not a mystery per se. Occasionally there are mysteries in there, but it's a human drama and some comic moments about these young women who are nurses and nuns, who are also nurses who work as midwives in England, and the changes that they have to face too, and the different personal
mm-hmm.
stories and stories with their patients. But it's a fascinating series, and just the backdrop of that culture, you can play with that so much and have so much fun with
mm-hmm.
it too.
Absolutely.
So
how your characters react to the changes too, and they evolve.
Yeah.
I mean, the roles
exactly.
of people changed a lot too.
Yeah, absolutely. And just the culture, you have fun with it because you do have fun with the music, which we all know I love too, and movies and all of that kind of stuff that you can play off of and get your characters involved and who liked who and the musical taste
yeah.
and all that kind of stuff. Kind of fun. Yeah, go ahead.
And you look at what would their overall life be, right? I mean, they would listen to music. They would be going out and seeing scenes. They would be watching movies. These things all would be part of their daily life. So when you think what their lives would be, you want to round it out and you want to give that overall picture of not only their moods, but what is the culture around them, what they see, and, of course, what they wear, because that's important, too, from our perspective, but also from the time of the setting.
Sure.
That was very, very important. So you look at what they did for their events, what they did socially, what they did on a daily basis, and you shape those things in to make the characters more rich and more human.
Yeah, well, the details are so important, I think, to bring it to life, and you do that so deftly. Mm-hmm. You also have a great handle on social media, and I know people who follow you on Facebook and Twitter, et cetera, see that you post all these great vintage photos. I don't know where the heck you get all this stuff, but some of them are really funny with funny captions that you provide and comments, and of course, yeah, go ahead.
We're a bit like magpies. We pick up things from all over the place. But one of the best sources, and actually we gave her in our acknowledgments, Rita Cagle has Living 50s Fashion, and she has some great pictures there. They're the ones that are the more beautiful and more dreamy, and she inspires us greatly, so we thanked her for that. But she has a great website where she picks up these vintage images, a lot of them from Vogue and Harper's Bazaar. She gives credit where she can, where she can find it. So she's been very good at following this along. So she's been a great source, but also two things that we just pick up that we go, yeah, that'll work, that's fun. Some of them are goofy. Some of them are, again, dreamy and beautiful, but we just love to share them. So we post a picture every day. We post our daily tweet every day but Sunday. You know, you need a little break from the wisecracking.
And even Barbara Jean needs to rest once in a while, right?
Yeah, she has to put her little kitten heels up because otherwise she's going to develop some rather serious foot issues in her 90s.
Yes, well, and she does have those great daily thoughts. It's funny because you guys really seem so grounded and nice and 21st century. And Barbara Jean, though, you really created this character. Are you worried ever that she's going to take over? I guess you keep her in check. You know?
Well, you know, we kind of hope she does take over because where we get a little bit shy or uncomfortable, we just channel her in. And again, it's the mantra.
Yeah,
I think we've mentioned this before. What would Barbara Jean do? And when we get scared or we get freaked out, we just think, she would just put on a wink and a smile and keep going. So she pulls us through out of a lot of nervous moments. Yeah.
Yep. Pop on some cat eye glasses.
Yeah.
So great. Now, tell us about this tour you guys are embarking on, or you just started, through your library system. How fabulous is this? Congratulations. It's quite an honor.
I think
it's called The Year of the Wise, which I think also should include The Year of the Wise Crack with Barbara Jean taking along.
Yes, we appreciated that.
How did this come
that.
About? Yeah. Give us a thumbnail on how this happened.
Well, we had done an appearance at our library. We had been part of a panel last fall with local authors, and we had the invitation that we could be doing readings at the library. And so we took our blinders and we thought, what could we say to our library system, which is quite extensive? It's the Okanagan Regional Library. And it runs the course of over 250 miles. It's quite an extensive area that it covers, has 29 branches. And we've always been patrons of the library system, regardless of where we lived. So it's been a great place for us. And we thought if we just thought of everything that we wanted to do and give them a note and saying, this is what we can do for the library, this is what we'd like to see. And Jamie Stewart, one of the librarians there, he said, I'll talk to my boss about this. So they came up with an idea for us to do a reading tour. We thought we would just do five or six branches, and they said, no, we'd like to take it system-wide. So we went, this is awesome. So we are touring on behalf of the first two books, and we're calling it the Fire Up the Edsel Tour. Thank you, Amy Beth, who deserves credit for that one.
You're welcome.
And we ended up thinking, okay, well, we'll do the reading. We'll talk a little bit about cozy mysteries. And we thought we should be in costume for this. So we have made our costumes. We have some local accessories from one of the vintage companies helping us. We've got some costumes from Perch, which is a vintage bus. And she's got the clothes on there, Robin Flynn. And also we've had some help from Georgie Girl with Angela Bricker, and she has a local vintage shop as well. So we're doing events with Georgie Girl, and we've got some of our accessories from the two places, so we get all dolled up in our 50s, fab 50s finds, and we go and talk a little bit about cozy mysteries, and then we read a passage from either the first or the second book and answer questions and talk to people, and it's a great way for us to be out there and meeting new readers. It's been fabulous.
Yeah. Wonderful. That is fantastic. Now, again, what about the Barbara Jean factor? I mean, do you have people ask you, where is Barbara Jean, and are we going to see Barbara Jean? Have you ever been tempted to dress up as Barbara Jean? Anybody? Or?
Well, what we do is we actually start by introducing ourselves and saying that we write under the shared pen name of Barbara Jean Coast, and then we talk about how we came to that name and decided that
right.
That's who we would be together under the pen name. And it's, I mean, let's face it, it really caught on. And as Heather says in the introduction, is that we Googled it and she didn't exist, and now she does. So.
She sure does. That's right. She sure does. And the idea of setting it in California, I know you've had this question before, and I think we've talked about it before, but just, you know, to clear it up for folks that you've decided, even though you live in Canada, but you visited Santa Barbara a lot. Is that the case? And you just thought that was
mm-hmm.
a cool setting for a mystery. Give us the reason why you didn't set it in Canada, for example.
Well, we set it in Santa Barbara because I think it was the muse that called the loudest and the longest. And it was, we both spent a fair bit of time in the area and got to know it quite well. And it just seemed like it was the idyllic town at the time when we started talking. And as we just started shaping it, and the temperate climate, the culture, the clothing, the scenic beauty of it, we just thought, you know, this is a perfect place for us to set it. Andrea, you can mention about the other projects that were...
Yes, yeah, we've also got an idea, and this we would be setting locally, like in Canada. It's because we live in an area where there's lots of vineyards, and we're kicking around the idea of a series about a winery. So we're in the planning stages of that. And it may actually even be distant ancestors of people in the books we are already writing.
Ah, so more contemporary setting, contemporary
yeah,
time.
We're looking at possibly two sisters running a family vineyard and winery,
yeah.
and having them possibly as distant relations. So we're fleshing that one out as well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, that's intriguing. That could be a good, interesting place. And Barbara Jean might enjoy imbibing every once in a while. It is the Andrea Berkley Show. Reach out via Twitter, AB Wright's phone line, 347-857-4505. We're talking with Heather and Andrea, the muses, or Barbara Jean the muse to them, the authors of the Poppy Cove Mystery Series. A couple of folks on Twitter chiming in. Franny says, how about research? Have you heard from any oldsters that you're on the money or wrong about things? I guess people from the 50s. Do you hear from anybody who's old enough to remember that era and whether you're spot on with the details?
We've had family members talk to us, and we've had a lot of people saying that we were pretty good with what we were talking about. And even when we were at the library, one woman came up to us and she said to us, "You look like my mother." And she says, I mean that in a good way, because she dressed like how you did, and she looked good. Now, there's creative license, and, you know, everyone's experience is going to be different. So some people may have different recollections of what we're doing, and it's fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You know, we try to be accurate. We do our research. We've had people from the Santa Barbara Historical Society help us out with questions. Things like highway numbers and road numbers, we researched those, that even though the town is fictional as Santa Barbara, or Santa Lucia from Santa Barbara, we looked to see some of the street numbers and some of the highway numbers that didn't exist. We made sure that we had the right number.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, we've not had a lot of people come back and ream us out. People have had different experiences from their time in the 50s, and they're certainly welcome to share that with us and share their experiences. We'd love to know more, but, you know, I think we've been doing okay. I think that's been all right.
Definitely.
You've been doing okay. It seems like you've done a lot of research, that's for sure. I mean, both in the book and also in all the things you do as your extra promotional material, so kudos for that. But it is fun. You know, you never know, as you know. I mean, readers and fans will come back at you with all kinds of things. Sometimes they read things into it that you didn't intend, and sometimes you're surprised yourself that, oh, yeah, okay, maybe. So that's always interesting. Oh, here's another one. Oh, we all get
learning.
This one all the time. Nan says, how do you handle nasty or bad reviews? Have you had any bad reviews, and how do you handle those, I guess is the question.
Yeah, I think you've arrived once you've had a bad review.
Ding, ding,
and,
ding. Me too. I agree.
Yeah, you're a real author. You're not a real author till you've had a bad review.
That's right.
You know. And
yes.
you just sort of handle it, I think you just move on. You know, and it gets balanced out. I mean, I think it happens to everyone, and
yes,
you just sort
absolutely.
Of move on. What's the important thing? You know, and I think you can just sort of go, okay, well, and next, move on from it too.
People are entitled to their opinion. And, you know, I mean, they have a right to say what they choose to say. But it's nice to know that there are more kind and understanding and
right.
sharing people in the world than the other.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I agree with you fully on all of those things. And I think you're right. You're bound to get a bad review. If you don't get a bad review, I find that a little suspect myself anyway. But the point is it constructive? I mean, maybe you can find something constructive if it's a constructive and not such a hot review, but you can find something that may be true about what they say and take that
sure.
For what it's worth. But if it's just a dismissive, nasty review, then what can you do with it? That's just their opinion, and they're
yeah.
just nasty, and I'm not sure why they posted it, but that's their business. And as you said, you got to move on from that, and hopefully
yeah.
take comfort in the vast majority of reviews are going to be, hopefully, better. Good.
Yeah,
and
if they've got a valid point, then that's fine, and we can learn from that, because it is a learning process regardless of
yes.
of what you do in your life. You never stop learning, and you never stop respecting other people's opinions.
Absolutely, yeah, and I agree with that, because the learning, if they've got something constructive to say, it may be helpful, and I would
yes.
consider that, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good positive attitude towards it, because we're all learning and sharing, hopefully. And the idea of social media, too. I mean, we're in an era where there's so much stuff thrown at you, but there's also opportunities to share your work and share other people's works. And you're very generous, too, I would say, as people who help other authors get their work out there and spread the word about it. So thank you for that and the efforts that you make on behalf of not just the Cozy Cat Press family, but other authors as well. And I think that's really a great thing to do, because you know, it's tough to get your work and the word out about it out there.
You know, it's not, you're not in competition with other authors. People read more than one book. And
exactly.
if they like what you're doing, they'll like somebody else's quite possibly, and bounce back and forth between yours and someone else's, and someone else will recommend you. And it truly is more of a community rather than a competition. And it should be viewed as such, because as is well known, you don't just read one book.
Yeah,
totally agree. People share books. Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's really important, too, because I've been a reader. I mean, we're both prolific readers. And I can't believe it's wonderful that there are so many good books out there to read. And I want those writers to reach readers as well, because I think, you know, a good book deserves to be read, well read.
Yeah, no, I so agree with that. And it's incumbent upon all of us, I guess, to be ambassadors for each other, for our own work and for other people's work as well, because it helps the genre, and it helps books and reading in general, I think, so,
mm-hmm.
and the craft of writing and all of that. So kudos for doing all of the great stuff that you continue to do for yourself and for everybody else, which is a great thing. And it's a great feeling, too, right? You know, to build that,
yeah.
as you said, that sense of community, which is what drew you to Cozy Mysteries to begin with. What were some of your influences in terms of authors when you first were hooked on Cozy Mysteries, Heather?
I would say Carola Dunn's a big one. She does the Daisy Dalrymple from the 20s, so that was a very good influence. But people like Susan Wittig Albert, she's got a great series, too. She's got a few series that are terrific. Laura Childs with the Tea Shop Mysteries, Avery Ames with the Cheese Shop. They're all those places, too, that they create a sense of home and a sense of place and a sense of character. There's so many that are just really well done. Hannah Reid with her B-series, and those are really fun, too. There's just so many that create these great worlds, and so you think of what's a take that I could be contributing to. What can I do that I can put a spin on it that fits in this world that makes people feel like they want to come visit? And some of these people and others too, they've really set up some great communities and great casts of characters that you want to know and you want to see what happens to them.
How about you, Andrea? Were there any particular writers that influenced you early on?
Oh, definitely Leslie Meyer with her Lucy Stone series. I love that series. There's a lot
yeah.
of those.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed those.
I read most of those, I think. Yeah, the good thing about
yeah.
her books, too, is that they started out when the kids were really little, and they grew up, and they're in college, and et cetera, you know. So that's fascinating. Yeah,
it's neat. And then I also really like, right now I'm reading the Donna Andrews Yeah. They're the Meg Langslow mysteries, and they're really funny. They are incredibly funny. I've also read some of one of Sue Ann Jafarian's. They're about Granny Smiths, and it's actually there's a ghost in those stories. It's the ghost of this woman's granny, and she helps solve the mysteries. But they're very good. They're quite good as well. And also some of the other Cozy Cat authors. There's some great Cozy Cat press authors
Amy Beth.
I like your books. And I really enjoy Sharon Rose's books are very good. Mm-hmm. The Parsons Cove mysteries. They've all got really good. There's some good, great books in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a very hearty and growing cadre of authors. That's for sure. And I think the key, as you said, I think earlier, I'm not sure which one mentioned it, but the idea of character being really important, the idea of developing those characters and getting hooked on the characters and wanting to know what's going on, because that to me is the most intriguing part of it, even more than the mystery itself. Although you have the mystery too, and you have to have the clues set up, and you know you want to have fun with that, that's for sure. But
even with Tim Hall's series, The Burt Shambles, I want to find out what happens to Burt. He's such a mess. Most of the time. But he's an enjoyable mess to read about.
There you go.
I think it was somebody compared him to Columbo. He's like a young Columbo.
Ah, well, that's good. I love Columbo, right? That's high praise. Although Columbo's not really a mess. I mean, he's rumpled, but he's definitely got it all going on upstairs, I think. That's part of his shtick, his act. So people think he's bumbling, but he's definitely not bumbling at all. But fascinating stuff. What a pleasure as usual to talk with you guys. What is your schedule like? I mean, this is because you've been pumping. I mean, you've been working on it for a long time in terms of it ruminating, but you seem to be having a pretty quick production to get these books out. I mean, the last one was out less than a year ago. What is your schedule like in terms of sitting down and writing? And people, I'm sure, are curious about that.
Well, right. Go ahead, Andrea.
Right now, we're concentrating on this our events. We've got the library events, and we do have a plan. We're kind of itching now, but we know we're going to start making some time to sit down and start writing the fourth very soon.
But when you do sit down, what is it like in terms of your schedule? And do you sit there for a few hours each day? Is it a number of pages? What is your goals, and how do you meet them?
Well, with the last book, we really wanted to get it done, so that was our concentration. I think, how many words were we writing, Heather?
Well, we changed our priorities. We've now made writing the first priority as rather than trying to fit it in with other things that we're doing. It's now become the first, and everything else is going to have to fit around it. So we had rather...
How did you do that?
We had a couple of months that were a bit crazy. We were trying to fit in writing, and we couldn't get anything done. There were a few other issues that popped up that got in the way. So once we sort of made the plan that the writing was going to be the main priority, then we were writing about 4,000 words a day. And we managed to get some good, solid writing, and then we took a week off, and then we started editing. So it's been about a year between the books coming out from the time that we got them done and sending them off to the publisher, to Cozy Cat Press. So we're thinking that we would like to see about 6 to 9 months between books. And that's what we'd like to see happen next. And right now we've got the library tour that we're working on. We've also got a book appearance. We're doing a couple of store appearances as well. One is in a store in Penticton called Hooked on Books, but that'll be the 13th. This Saturday we're at Chapters in Kamloops, which is a town about 2.5 hours away from here, and we're going to be on the local news there on the Friday before the event. Then we've got at Georgie Girl, we're going to be doing a cocktail party on the 16th. It's an evening event, a 50s cocktail party at the vintage store. And then we've got an appearance here at Chapters in Kelowna on the 4th of July. And then amongst all that, we've got the library tour. So right now, the main concentration, as Andrea is saying, is that we're going to be working on all of these appearances, making sure that we've got everything lined up. Then once that dies down, that's when we're going to start doing more of the writing. Plus, we want to be marketing the third book online as well and getting people to let them know about what's the third book is out online. We're going to have the third book out in the public towards the end of June, beginning of July, that we'll have the paper copies in our local market. And so we've got a plan that this is the most important, getting the word out there, and then we're going to temper it with a little bit of marketing, probably trying to work about 2,000 words a day, and about half the day to be talking about the books and the other half the day to be writing the books. So it's a busy time.
Busy. You found a way to do it, and that's a big commitment because not everybody can quite make that commitment, but you've done it, and good for you. Congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank
but
you.
We should tell
well,
people who are listening who are not in Canada that you can get the books online, right? And I'm going to post
absolutely.
The link to them. The new book, I'm saying. You have the other two, of course, but the new book as well.
Yeah.
A Need to Remember.
Yeah.
We'll post the link and your website. It's BarbaraJeanCoast.com. People can go to that and get the details as well. But I'll definitely post it. I do that after after the show, as well as the podcast. All the shows are available for podcast shortly after we're done. It will miraculously appear as a podcast. That's the beauty of technology.
And we'll share it seamlessly.
Yeah, of course, well, you do, and I really do appreciate that too, because some guests don't bother to do it or can't do it, and then it does hurt their number of people that they reach. Because I do what I can, but it's always great when both parties are involved. So I do appreciate that, Barbara Jean. I don't care if you come from the 50s; you know your stuff in the 21st century too. I'm waiting for Barbara Jean to show up one day, though. I mean, I know she, three times you guys have been on, and I promises. She just doesn't make her appearance, but it's a great concept and a fun series. You took it from an idea 12 years ago. Wow, and boy, what have you produced?
What have you done?
Dream come true, and you're not even done. Of course, you keep going, but wow, congratulations! What a great effort, and all the other things you may do. The next the series and the vineyard, that could be fascinating too, and anything else that you guys do. Heather, Andrea, a pleasure talking with you as always. Barbara Jean, thank you so much for joining us in spirit. We'll look for you on the road if you're in Canada. Check it out. You have the schedule of the tour on your website?
Yeah, the schedule on the tour is on our website. So it's on the Scoop page, and it's just below the post about this appearance.
Okay,
so
great. So if folks are in Canada and they are in the area, they want to come see you live, I'm sure you'll be happy and delighted to give you autographs to any and all seekers. And have a great time. And thank you so much. Congratulations
thank
on the latest. Need to Remember. It is Heather and Andrea, Barbara Jean Coast, the Poppy Cove Mystery Series. So we've got some nifty 50s songs, including this one. I think you requested it from the book.
Excellent.
And the Champ.
Yes,
take
of
care.
Yes.
I'm
Andrea
Darguisha.
Thanks.
Take care.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
but no Orella. That my lover,
la, 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 la,
la, just for you.
My darling, I need you to call my own and never do wrong, to hold in mind your little hand. I'll know too soon that all is so grand. Please hold my hand.
Hey, Jira, my eye is stronger to try to love her too. Oh, well, that my lover was just for you.
Everybody. Everybody's so grumpy every morning around here.
Something's happened to my brain. It's all dried up.
Everybody loves a lover. I'm a lover. Everybody loves me. Anyhow, that's how I feel. Wow, I feel just like a Pollyanna. I should worry, not for nothing. Everybody loves me, yes they do. No one else but me. Gee, I feel just about 10 feet tall. Having a ball, guess you might call me Pollyanna. Everybody loves a lover.
Silly grin.
the moment you come into view. Chances are you think that I'm in love with you. Just because my composure sort of slips the moment that your lips meet mine. Chances are you think my heart your valentine. In the magic of moonlight, when I sigh, hold me close, dear. Chances are you believe the stars that fill the skies are in my eyes. Guess you feel you'll always be the one and only one for me. And if you think you could, well, chances are your chances are awfully good.
On the Amy Beth Arkwin Show, a tune featured in the Poppy Cove Mystery Series. Also, Doris Day, the 58 version of that sassy tune, Everybody Loves a Lover. The Diamonds from 1957 and Little Darlin', and the classic from the Champs, Tequila. It is the Amy Beth Arkwin Show. Reach out via Twitter at AB Writes as we, of course, are paying tribute to the fabulous 50s in honor of our guests, Heather Scudderoff and Andrea Teller, the fabulous gals behind that fab 50s socialite and author of the Poppy Cove Mystery Series, Barbara Jean Coast. Latest one, A Nate to Remember, out now. A couple of comments on the Twitter feed. Nixie, one of our hearty regulars, chiming in. Another great interview. They sound like a fun, stylish pair. Love the music, too. Well, thank you, Nixie. Ron says, hey, thanks for talking about the writing process. Wow, lots of work goes into it. Lots of people don't realize that. Yeah, so true, so true. They stuck to a pretty demanding schedule, I have to say. So good for them. For doing it, adhering to it, and keeping those series going. It took them a while to get it off the ground, but once it got off the ground, boy, are they off and running. That's for sure. Phone line open, too, if you're listening live on Tuesday, June 2nd, so clink those tin cans and the string together for me, won't you? 347-857-4505, or the Twitter feed, of course, at AB Writes. So we'll flash forward to where we are today in the Free Flow Pop Culture Convo. By now you've all seen the photo. Call him or her. Call her. Caitlin, I guess, is the way to refer to it, as Bruce Jenner has officially shown his transformed image on the cover of Vanity Fair. Wow, she's a knockout. Of course, she doesn't really look like that, I don't think. They showed a video accompanying it. A lot of makeup, contouring, and photoshopping to get the image you got, but still stunning at 65 years old, any way you slice it, and talks about a weight lifted off her shoulders, new life, no secrets. I hope reality show doesn't screw it up. They have a reality show. I think it's not on yet or coming on soon to follow the transformation. I hope it's handled with dignity and not a tacky trash fest as the Kardashian franchise is known to be. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. A lot of people asking, will this help the transgender community? They have polls going around. I don't know. I mean, you have to ask the transgender community, and they have to see how it all plays out. But I suppose anybody, especially a high-profile person coming out and being that honest and that open, it can't hurt, for sure. I think it will definitely shed light and open up the doors for people to be honest and open with themselves and with the world at large. So you see that with people like Laverne Cox, Chaz Bono, et cetera. So really, good for her for coming out and doing what she felt she needed to do. For those people who say it's just a stunt, I say, no, it can't possibly be that. You wouldn't put yourself through that for a stunt. It makes no sense whatsoever. This is real, and if you're a person in the public spotlight and you make a transformation, people are going to know about it. And she's handling it as best she can. So call her Caitlin indeed. She got the most Twitter followers, besting President Obama to reach 1 million Twitter followers, I think, in under 4 hours. So, wow. You talk about social presence and power. There it is, indeed. A surprising story came out of the Supreme Court yesterday. I was kind of taken aback by this. I'm not sure how I feel about it either. They overturned, by a margin of 8-1, the conviction of a man who was charged and convicted with threatening his ex-wife on Facebook, threatening to kill her. The reading is, I guess, about free speech and the idea that you, if you don't intend it to be actual threat, in other words, you don't intend to actually act on it, you're allowed to post it. So it's not what the receiver believes it to be, it's what the poster intended it to be. And that pretty much gives free range for anybody to say anything, and maybe that's a good thing. What do you think about that? So in other words, a threat is a threat, but you have to act on it before anybody can arrest you. A lot of domestic abuse advocates are worried about that. They feel this is just going to be open season on people, particularly in the domestic abuse arena. We'll see how that one plays out. But it's fascinating. It's intriguing. It's also intriguing to note the dissenter was Clarence Thomas on the conservative, and I don't know where I stand on that, because I think, you know, it's one thing. I don't know if you can regulate it, and maybe you can't regulate it, and maybe that's what they were saying. But you certainly don't want to encourage it. The footnote to that story, though, is the guy, I forget his name, I'm sorry, I don't have the article in front of me, but who was convicted and the conviction was overturned is still in trouble because now he's in jail for throwing a pot at his latest girlfriend's mother. So he's obviously acted, unfortunately, in some way on some of those threats, so we shouldn't laugh about it, but hopefully it won't go beyond throwing a pot, and hopefully that woman was okay. We'll see what happens with that. Meanwhile, the Senate is still trying to see whether they can renew parts of or all of the Patriot Act, those provisions to collect the data and the government have access to your phone calls, et cetera, is up for grabs. Rand Paul tried to filibuster it down last week. I think they're set to vote today, is that it? Or I think it expires by tomorrow, so they have to do some kind of voting, and they kind of amended it. I don't know. Again, I'm not sure where I stand on that. If safety is a concern and they really can weed out terrorists and catch terrorists faster and thwart plots, maybe I'm for it. I mean, I have nothing to hide, so if they're collecting this data, and by the way, the phone company already has it, so it's not like the information and the phone calls are actually going to evaporate and nobody's going to have it. It's out there. I mean, Big Brother has been watching us for a long time, and frankly, most of us are pretty willing to have them do it because we're all posting our lives online all the time, right? I mean, if you engage in Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and Tumblr and all these other sites, and you're posting your your life and your photographs, you kind of want to be out there. So I don't know. If you don't have anything to hide, what are you worried about? But I understand the idea of privacy, too, and people have a right to privacy. So it's a tough one. It is definitely a tough call, and you have to weigh it. Rand Paul trying to make a name for himself, alienating a lot of his Republican Party colleagues and other folks who are running for the presidential nomination, but there's a certain niche of people, particularly in the Republican Party, and also libertarian-leaning people who might be not more independent and not initially in either party, who kind of agree with him. So it's interesting. And I still think it might be interesting to see if Rand Paul runs as an independent. I don't think he'll do it, but we'll see what happens as the presidential polls get tighter. Poll today said Hillary Clinton is down, her unfavorables over her favorables for the first time in 14 years. That's pretty scary if you're part of the Clinton campaign. Still early, though. We'll see what happens. Support not really eroding in general for her. Bernie Sanders making a name for himself, but still trailing way behind. And Martin O'Malley, the former Baltimore mayor, former Maryland governor, who threw his name in the ring on Saturday, not registering much. But when all the dust is cleared, what are the odds that we'll see a Martin O'Malley versus George Pataki run for 2016? That idea just leaves you breathless, doesn't it?
baby, you to love me, let police don't tease. If I can hold you, then let me squeeze. My heart goes round and round. My love comes a tumble down. You leave me breathless. Well, I shake all over, and you know why. I'm sure it's love, honey, that's no lie. Cause when you call my name, you know I burn like wood in flame. You leave me breathless. Ooh, baby. Ooh, crazy. You're much too much. Honey, I can't love you enough. It's all right to hold on tight. But when they you to love me right. Oh, come on, baby, now don't be shy. This love was meant for you and I. Wind, rain, sleet or snow, I'm gonna be wherever you go. You have left me breathless.
Try to speak. My insides shake like a leaf on a tree. There's only one cure for this body of mine. That's to have that girl and her love so fine. She touched my head and what a chill I got. Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say that she's my buttercup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up.
I don't have time today to play What's My Line.
Jackson, I think the funniest thing in radio is Alan's Alley.
Oh, you do, huh?
I think so, too.
Oh, you do, eh?
I think so, too.
Oh, you do, eh?
I think Mr. Benny is much funnier than Mr. Allen.
I think so, too.
Oh, you do, eh?
You know you gotta get going if you're gonna make a showing.
5.
Who listens to radio? That go where you go medium called radio. That's with you every night through the long commuter fight, and in the morning with your toast and mama lady. Oh, who listens to radio? No matter if it's summer, winter, spring or fall. Who listens to radio? Only 150 million. 150 million people. That's all.
Well, it's time tonight, and I just got paid. Fool about my money, don't try to save. My heart says go, go. Have time for Saturday night. Now I'm feeling fine. I'm gonna rock it up. I'm gonna rip it up. I'm gonna shake it up. Go ball it up. I'm gonna rock it up. And ball tonight. Got me a date and I won't be late. Pick her up in my 88. Shag on down by the Union Hall. When the dust starts up and I have a ball, I'm gonna rock it up. Tonight, along about 10, I'll be flying high. Walk on out unto the sky. But I don't care if I spend my gold, cause tonight I'm gonna be one happy soul. I'm gonna rock it up. I'm gonna rip it up. I'm gonna shake it up. Gonna ball it up. I'm gonna rock it up. And ball tonight.
Sounds so great. Also, Elvis All Shook Up, Breathless from Jerry Lee Lewis, The Cordettes for those fashionistas, Pink Shoelaces, the fashionistas from the Poppy Cove Mysteries series, of course. And thanks going out to Trudy and Aurora working hard in the archives to put together our little musical time capsule from the fabulous 50s. Lots of fun indeed. And the Twitter feed at AB Writes, Dondi chiming in, one of our hearty regulars, another great show. Like the stylish gals, interview sounds fun. And like the music so much. Well, thank you, Dondi. Lulu says, really love your show. Music is great, and the story sounds good. I'm going to check out the books. Well, thank you so much, Lulu. I hope you do. We try to get more folks to indulge in the Poppy Cove Mystery Series. I will post all the links, as I said, after the show. The Inspiration to Action Show and Success Story today, Leon in Joplin, Missouri, who writes a lovely note, says, thank you so much for this. I'm writing a memoir, and I had to dig really deep into my family's history and get up the courage to do it. Your challenge and your inspiration has let me delve deeper than I thought I'd be able to, and the exercises in the challenge gave me the discipline to go forward. So thank you so very much. I really appreciate it. Well, thank you, Leon. I appreciate the heartfelt words. I hope it keeps working for you. Hey, if the Inspiration to Action Challenge is working for you, please reach out to the website. It's amybetharkawi.com. Send us a love note there, and we will send one back to you on the air because I think it gives you a well-deserved pat on the back and hopefully helps some other folks get spurred on as well. Hey, if you need also a little cajoling in the creativity department, let's start a conversation. First one always on me. Just give me a week or or so to get back to you. The same location, amybetharkowead.com. And for those who find the last name tricky, I understand. It's a direct link via the Twitter feed. You'll get right in there, no problem, and no questions asked. You can also peruse my stories while you're there, the Eliza Gordon Mystery Series, both Killing Time and Dead Silent, available for ebook and paperback from Cozy Cat Press. And if you'd like to be a guest on the show, that's the place to stop by. Speaking of guests, hey, the incomparable Trudy Hart, our producer, has snagged us another great interview with the one and only Brett Butler, the iconic TV star and comedian. You remember that great show, Grace Under Fire? Just back in syndication, and I'm telling you, from the 90s, the show is still really relevant. It's on some pretty heavy-duty topics in a very funny and intriguing way. Well, she's back now, kind of a comeback, a new memoir out called Knee Deep in Paradise. She did a star turn guest appearance, or two, series of guest appearances on Anger Management, and she has a psychic practice, which I think is fascinating. So we're going to talk with her. That's coming up on Friday, June 12th. If you can't make it live, but you'd like to participate, hey, it's easy. You can field some questions, throw us some questions via Twitter at AB Writes with the hashtag Brett Butler, or, you know, send me a note at the website, and we'll make sure we get those questions. If they're reasonable and make sense to us, we'll pass them on to Brett at amybetharkowead.com. Listen live or on demand. This is going to be a fabulous one. Lots of fabulous guests coming in June. We have it all posted for you in our roundup on Radio Graffiti, the blog. We'll post that also, of course. It's been posted a few times via social media. So lots of stuff to look forward to as June has burst out all over. We're here. We're in June, and it's kind of damp and chilly in my neighborhood for now, but I know the heat is coming. That's true. I think it is. Hey, another big thing in the news for the Justice Junkies, I know people are upset about this because I saw a bit of it yesterday revealed on the Nancy Grace show. Remember the so-called tot mom, Casey Anthony, who most people except 12 misguided folks on the jury in Florida believe let her off the hook. They believe that she killed her daughter, her baby girl, toddler. This is like 10 years or 8 years ago now that this happened. There was some talk at the time that she was going to be available for a high-paid book or interview, and that all got squelched pretty much because of the boycott. Well, there's a resurgence of that boycott because she's been spotted in New York with some PR folks by her side, and there's some rumor going around that she's getting another high-priced shot at an interview. Not sure if it's true, but there's already a Facebook page up to boycott it. It's all over Twitter. So if you find this disagreeable, you might want to participate in one of those boycotts because it helped before and it should help again. I'm kind of on the same page. I don't like hysterical stuff. I think the marketplace does what the marketplace does. Come on. Does this woman need to get paid a lot of money to tell a bunch of lies? Because basically she's a confirmed liar. That's the one thing she was convicted of, was perjury. We'll see how it plays out, but she's back in the news. Or rumors of her being back in the news abound. Would you watch an interview with her? You know, probably a lot of people would because you're not paying anything. But if you know that she's being paid big money, would you watch? Would you boycott sponsors? This is why I don't think it's going to happen, because this is what happened the last time. And social media is very tricky, and you can forgive a lot of things, but a baby killer, I don't think that's that easily forgiven. Of course, people will say, hey, she was acquitted. The jury bought the accident theory that the kid died accidentally in the pool and the father found the baby. Coincidentally, she didn't even have anything to do with it at all. We'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. But that's for you, Justice Junkies. I know who you are, and I know how you get on me if we don't cover the Justice story. So we'll follow it. If she should land an interview, I'm sure we'll talk more about it. And what the heck is she doing with her life? It's interesting. But she lives in Florida, so I always thought she should hook up with George Zimmerman. That would be an interesting pairing, right? Intriguing stuff indeed. Hey, listen, I hope you're having an intriguing life. Do the right thing. Connect the right way. Use social media in the most way that brings you the most inspiration and joy and all of those good things. Don't put out the hate speech and the negativity and the snark so much. A little bit of the snark maybe is okay if that's your thing. But, you know, people are worried and they say there's so much hate on Twitter and Facebook. I don't see it because I don't go there. I use it for positive things. I use it for promoting my work. I use it to promote other people's work. I use it to, you know, occasionally comment on things in the news, but hopefully in a positive way. Yes, you don't have to always agree, and if you want to quip back with something witty, that's okay, but try to use it in a positive way because it's there. It's for people to do really good things with, and you can do really good things with it if you so choose. So it's all about choices you make. Choose to be inspiring. Choose to be creative. Choose to follow people who are in that vein, and it will fuel you to be even more so, and that's what it's all about, I think. And our guests today, Heather and Andrea from the Poppy Cove Mystery Series, they exemplify that because they use social media to promote other people as well as their own work, do it in a fun and positive way, and I applaud that. I hope I follow in the same vein, and I try to do that when I can. Celebrate, champion, advocate for other people, and I think you're going to be better off. You're going to feel better about yourself and your own work, too. So we can all be ambassadors for each other in the right way and a constructive way. That's, I think, what it's all about. So it's your choice. You can use it how you want to use it and use it for positive good. But because that force is there, you can also boycott things, and that could be a positive thing in some cases. But, you know, be respectful in your comments. That's all I'm kind of saying.
Will you shut up, lady?
I guess I can.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yes, we're ready to leave. Hey, I'll post the links to the Poppy Cove Mystery Series and the latest A Need to Remember coming up after the show. Don't forget, you can follow the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show at the Blog Talk Radio site. Download episodes at NetNow, iTunes, and my website, amybetharkowitz.com. Thanks again to the TCS crew, Trudy Aurora in the booth, ML at headquarters. Let's go Mets. They won late night on the coast last night. We'll do it again tonight, I hope. Drive safe, play nice, dream big, and please come back and see us.
See you later, alligator.
Well, I saw my baby walking. Where's another man today? Where's all my baby walking? Where's another man today? When I ask her what's the matter, this is what I heard her say. See you later, alligator. She told me, nearly made me lose my head. When I thought of what she told me, nearly made me lose my head. But the next time that I saw her, reminded her of what she said.
See you later, alligator. That's the wild crocodile.
The kind of music you should be listening to.
Okay.
It's so easy to fall in love. It's so easy to fall in love.
People tell me love's for food. So here I go, breaking all of the rules. It seems so easy.
It's been so easy. It's been so easy.
Doggone easy.
It seems so easy.
Seems so easy. Well, you're concerned, my heart has learned. It's so easy to fall in love. It's so easy to fall in love.
heart your love book and set apart for me. It seems so easy,
so easy, so easy.
Oh, so doggone easy,
doggone easy, doggone easy.
Mm-hmm. It seems so easy,
seems so easy, seems so easy, seems so easy.
Where you're concerned, my heart has love. It's so easy to fall in love. It's so easy.
Yet. Not so fast. Rudy reminded me we have to play it, and it's from the right era, Jerry Lewis, and Loves a Murder Mystery on the radio. Take care. We'll talk Friday.
Isn't that beautiful? I love a murder mystery upon the radio. I love it, I love it, I really love it so. The heroine is yelling while the sponsor goes on selling.
Don't touch me, you brute!
Use delirium for your tube.
Sam shovels in the hovel, he must grovel for a clue. I love it, I love it, I rally, rally do.
Charlie comes to give his arms, interrupted by the sponsor.
You see Watson, when the villain.
Painless Joe will do your drilling.
I'm nervous when I turn the dial, I'm dizzy in the head. When it's time for in a stankum, I go underneath my bed.
Don't shoot me, Biggs the Stoolie, as they put him through the mill.
I'll shoot you, I'll shoot you, seriously, I will. The girl he tries to take, and then we have a station break.
Come on, baby, come to me. Boing, boing, boing. This is Station C-O-D.
He's not breathing, but how can he? He's dead. He's dead! Why, this is a job for Superman, or Hopalong Cavity, or Jack Headstrong, the All-American Boy, or Jerry Lewis. But I don't scare easily, not me. I'm too frightened to be scared. I'll find the killer. I'll search the apartment. Aha! Just as I thought. Three shoes under the bed. Well, that's logical for a man with 3 feet.
But I have it now, Inspector. I can name your killer for you. His name is...
Painless Joe will do you drilling. My flesh begins to creep and then my skin begins to crawl. You think I was a worm the way I wiggled down the hall. I love a murder mystery upon the radio. I love it, I love it, I really love it so. I love it when I'm listening late at night and a murderer is stalking a heroine. And a hero is stalking a murderer and a private eye is stalking a hero. And a cop is stalking a private eye. And they're coming in closer and closer, surely but closer and surely. They're coming out of the radio. Now they're stalking me. What have I done? I was only listening to the radio. Now they're throwing toothpaste at me. They're coming closer and closer. And I don't know the conjunctive moves of anyone that may be based on the fact that other people say the same their facts. Where else are Splendor? And certainly not the one in Rio. I'm not going up to know that anyone else may say I'm wrong. And I feel that I must stay here and now. No one else will ever know the facts. I wish I was dead.